Hey guys. Did you have a good day? Yeah? Everybody have a good day? Anybody take a test today? How'd you guys do? Oh. Well, I spent my day in the powerhouse. And I got to talk to a lot of people there today. I was going to go to the gym and play one-on-one with Manny, but never got there. Sorry, Manny. We'll do it, though. Don't worry. It'll happen. All right. You guys want to sing one more song? All right. All right, here we go. This is the second verse. Do we have it on the screen? That's okay. I can just teach it to you. Just repeat after me. Well, I want to tell you about Jesus and his heart of burning love. He prepared a place for you, and he said he's coming soon. No more trials, no more tears, no more doubt and no more fear. Walk with him on streets of gold, where there's no more growing old. Praise Jesus all the way. We're gonna praise him every day. Praise Jesus, sing with me. He rose again and set us free. Praise him, don't be ashamed to lift up his holy name. Came to earth and lived and died so we could have eternal life. Get up. Yeah, you guys are getting better at this. Ready? Get down. Feel the joy, now spin around. Get up, get down. Feel the joy, now spin around. Get up, get down. Feel the joy, now spin around. Spin around, spin around, spin around. Praise Jesus all the way. We're gonna praise him every day. Yeah, clap like that. Praise Jesus, sing with me. He rose again and set us free. Praise him, don't be ashamed, no, to lift up his holy name. Came to earth and lived and died so we could have eternal life. Get up, get down, feel the joy, now spin around. Get up, get down, feel the joy, now spin around. Get up, get down, feel the joy, now spin around. Spin around, spin around. Praise Jesus all the way. We're gonna praise him every day. Praise Jesus, sing with me. Rose again and set us free. Yeah! Praise him, don't be ashamed to lift up his holy name. Came to earth and lived and died we could have eternal life. Came to earth and lived and died so we could have eternal life. Yeah, I love it. I am convinced that God could hear you guys singing that when He gave that song to me.
Take me. Make me white like snow. That I'm alive in you, I will come into your courts and I will follow. Now that I'm alive in you, I will come into your courts and I will follow.
God wants to do with you.
Use me. Show me where to go. Now that I'm alive in you, I will come into your courts and I will follow. Now that I'm alive in you, I will come into your courts and I will follow. Now that I'm alive in you, I will come into your courts and I will follow you.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that I have to be here, Lord, and to speak to these young people. Father, I pray that you would be lifted up tonight because you said that if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So, Lord, I just pray that you would hide me right now and that you would stand up and that you would speak. And, Father, I just want to pray for your protection right now, Lord. I just want to come against Satan and his angels in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of his blood. I just command them to leave this place right now. And I just ask that you would fill this place with your Spirit and that you would put your angels all around here, Lord, as we talk about some really serious subjects tonight. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help each young person here, Lord, to put aside the distractions, the things on their mind, anything that would keep them from being able to focus tonight, and just help them to be able to listen, and that this would sink deep into good soil tonight, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. All the people said,
amen. Amen.
When you commit your life to Jesus Christ and you ask Him into your heart and you ask Him to be Lord and Savior of your life, you become, the Bible says, a son or a daughter of a king. And to remind you tonight, as I'm going to remind you every single day, of who you are because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Your royalty, your sons and daughters of God, your prince and princesses of a king, with an amazing inheritance, reserved, the Bible says, reserved in heaven for you. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you don't just get eternal life after you die. Eternal life starts the moment you give your life to Him.
death is not an experience that the Christian has to have. You may have the pain of it. But when you die, the very next thing you see is Jesus coming, right? Such an incredible inheritance that you guys have as sons and daughters of God. But today, as I was talking to a lot of you, I recognize that I'm telling you these concepts and I'm putting them into your mind and you're thinking about it. And it's easy to walk out the door and say, yeah, I'm a son or a daughter of God. I am a prince or I am a princess. But you may know that in your head, but it's a lot harder to feel it in your heart and to live it in your heart, because a lot of the experiences that you are having in life, because of a lot of the stuff that you're going through, because the stuff that you're going through doesn't make you feel like a prince, doesn't make you feel like a princess, makes you feel like terrible. But I want you guys to know that your identity is grounded in the fact that you're a child of God. And why is it that most teens and most people in the world have no idea who they are? No clue. It's because your identity is under attack. This morning we talked about Jesus in the wilderness. When Jesus was in the wilderness, the devil came against him with the question, if you are the Son of God. And I said this morning, if the devil was attacking, if the devil was attacking Jesus Christ, I'm pretty sure that the devil is going to be attacking you. And he's going to be coming against your identity with everything that he's got, because he doesn't want you to believe who the Bible says that you are when you give your life to Jesus Christ. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were hanging out, and God said, hey, you guys have this whole garden, whole things for you, you know? You can go anywhere you want in the garden. You can do whatever you want, have fun, play in the trees, eat the fruit, swim in the river, play with the animals, build a house. Oh, and by the way, I put this tree over here. It's called the Tree of Life. You eat from that, it's like the best tasting fruit you've ever had. There's spaghetti fruit, pizza fruit, there's like burrito fruit, calzone fruit. No? All right. Falafel fruit. There's just all this wonderful fruit, and you just eat this fruit, and you're just going to live forever, and you can even eat the leaves. It's so good. It's the best tree. It's so good. You guys can, you can sleep in the tree. You can make a tree fort in the tree if you want to. You can do anything you want in the Tree of Life. Just have a great time in the Tree of Life. But over here, on the other side of the garden, there's this other tree. Don't go near that tree. That's called the Tree of Yuck. The Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil. Stay away from that tree. Don't go near it. Don't touch it. Don't even try to smell it. Don't, nothing. Just stay away from it. That's a bad tree. If you go near that tree and you eat from that fruit, you're going to die. You see, God always gives us a choice, because He's a God of freedom. You see, we're curious people, aren't we? My mom used to say to me, don't eat the cookies in the cookie jar. Those are for a special occasion. And I know I put big, fat, juicy blueberries in them, but just stay away from them. And I would say, yes, Mom. Yes, I'll stay away from the cookies in the cookie jar. I will stay away from the cookies in the cookie jar. And then my mom would go to the store, and I would just, you know, I wasn't going to go near the cookie jar. I just wanted to look at the cookie jar. So I'd just stand in the kitchen, and I'd just look. I'm like, actually, not in the kitchen, just kind of off the, just in the carpet, just near the linoleum, you know, and just look at the cookie jar and just be like, oh, looks so good. And then I just like, oh, I just want to like get a little closer to the cookies. I just want to look at the cookies, you know. So I get near the cookies, and I just look into the cookie jar like, oh, and then my mouth would start to water. And then I'm just like, oh, I just want to smell the cookies. just want to take a whiff because they're oatmeal cookies and they got blueberries and it's so good. We're gonna eat them tomorrow for lunch. So I just open the cookie jar and just, oh, I smell the cookies. I just want to touch one. That's all I want to do. I'm not gonna eat it. I just want to touch it. Just touch the cookie. So I take the cookie and I just hold it. I'm just gonna hold it in my hand. I'm just gonna pet the cookie. It's a nice cookie. I like this cookie. And I'm just going to hold the cookie in my hand for a little bit. And I'm just going to take a little tiny crumb of the cookie because... Oh! And pretty soon it's like, where's the milk? Give me the milk! Yeah, you know. And then mom comes home and there's like 14 cookies missing from the cookie jar. Actually, not that many. But I ate a lot of cookies from the cookie jar. And what do you think happened to me? Smack! No, I didn't get sick, no. I had a rock-hard stomach when I was a kid. I could eat anything. 14 pieces of pizza. Anyway, that's kind of how sin works, though, isn't it? That's what happens. And, you know, it tells us in the Bible that, you know, it doesn't actually tell us how it happened. We know that Eve wandered somewhere. Eve and Adam, they got near the tree, and they're hanging out. And the tree, they look in the clearing, and they're like, wow, that doesn't look so bad. That's actually a pretty-looking tree. I like the looks of that. Hey, let's just go over and just have a look. You know? Come on. It's no big deal. Man, you smell the fruit on that tree? It smells so good. And it got a little bit closer and a little bit closer. And as you get close to the tree, I hear, psst. Hey. Psst. Did you hear something? Eve wanders a little closer. Adam's kind of like, I don't know, honey. I don't know. This isn't feeling right. Psst. Hey. Hey. And there's this beautiful serpent there. And he's talking. Kind of like those kids over there. On the left. Yeah, you. Yeah. And the serpent's talking. And he's talking to him, and he says to him, he says, hey, come try this fruit. Look at this. I got some. It's not so bad. I'm trying it. You know how it is. Hey, try this. It's not so bad. I'm trying. You want some? It's the same thing, guys. Same spirit. And she walks over, and then she begins to have a conversation with the devil. That was a big mistake. You just don't get into a conversation with the devil. As soon as you're arguing with him, you're in trouble. She gets into a conversation with him, and you know what he says to her? This is what he says. Did God really say not to eat this fruit? Kind of funny, isn't it? Did he really say that? Did he really mean that? Did God really say in the Bible not to steal? Come on, it's no big deal. Did God really say that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Ah, come on, it's no big deal. Have a drink. Did God really say to wait until you're married to have sex? Ah, come on, it's no big deal. Try it. It's fun. Everybody's doing it. Check me out. That's exactly what the devil does. It's the same thing every single time, guys. It's the same thing. Just a different day and a different temptation. And on this day, it was just a piece of fruit. See, the devil had an identity crisis. In Isaiah, it says that he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to be the one that said, hey, you guys go and do this, and you guys go and do that. Hey, you angels over here, you guys need to go and help that person. He wanted to be in control. He wanted to be in the counsel of God. He wanted to be like God. And you know what? He wasn't happy. God made him. He was the highest angel in heaven. He was at the top of the rung. The only person that was higher than him was the Trinity themselves, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Other than that, it was Lucifer. He had everything, all the universe at his disposal. But he wanted one more thing. You see, he had an identity crisis. He wasn't happy with who God made him to be. He actually didn't believe that who God made him to be was good enough. So there was a war in heaven. Light and darkness have no part together, and Lucifer was removed from heaven. And that's where all this craziness that we have to deal with began. Because he passed on his identity crisis to Eve. You know, it's pretty funny. If you read in Genesis, right after Adam and Eve ate the fruit, and no, it doesn't say it's an apple in the Bible, but I don't even know who left this apple here, but it's just amazing. It's right here on the... But anyway, it doesn't say it was an apple in the Bible. It was just some fruit. They ate it. And the very next thing they did is it says that they went and they found fig leaves to cover themselves up. And they're walking around like this. And God comes into the garden and he's trying to talk to them. And what are they doing? They're hiding. Right away, the division is instant. Sin brought an instant division between them and God. Right away, they start to hide from God and pull away from God and tuck down and hide. And they're scared of God. There's this thing that happened. Right away, they forgot who God created them to be. And they have passed that down to you. All through the years, sin just gets passed down. One generation after the next, it's our nature. We're born with it, and we're born with this crisis that we've been talking about. And that's why it's so hard for you when I tell you you're a royal prince, you're a royal princess when you accept Jesus Christ in your life, because when Christ came, he ended the division. He created a way to be back into relationship with God. And when you say, I believe in that, I trust in that, you become his child. But there's everything, there's all these things inside of you, this nature that you're born with that says no. And then not only that, but there's an enemy that's coming to you every day saying no. No, it's not true. It's a lie. You guys are under attack with this enemy every single day. It says in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to kill you if he can. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to take away any possibility of you being a warrior for Jesus Christ. Not only that, but he wants to take away just any joy that you might have in life. I've talked to a lot of you today, and I'll tell you what, man, he is busy. He's busy. I've talked to some students today that are hurting, that are going through some tough stuff. Boy, I'll tell you what. I saw some tears today. It's not a bad thing, you know, to shed tears. It's actually a good thing. It says in the Bible, it says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." God's saying, "Hey, you guys, don't think it's strange when all of a sudden in life something really bad starts to happen and you're like going, what's this happening to me for? This isn't fair." You're a Christian. You're a child of God and you have an enemy and he is after you and he wants to destroy your heart. It says, don't think it's strange when this is happening as though some strange thing happened. But know that this is happening to all of your brothers and sisters in the world. It's happening to everybody. Every single one of you is getting attacked one way or another by the enemy. He's coming after you. He wants to take you out. Abuse. There's people in this room tonight who have been through verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. There's people in this room tonight who have been through divorce. Not your divorce, your parents. And it's tearing at your heart right now as you're sitting here. It's messing you up. It's hurting you. There's people sitting in the room tonight who have been through betrayal. Betrayed by a parent. Betrayed by a relative. Betrayed by a friend. There's people sitting here tonight who've already been through a horrible breakup in a relationship with someone they loved. And it's tearing them apart right now. There's people sitting here in the room tonight that have been picked on and made fun of, pushed away, and possibly just completely ignored. And I just want you guys to know who's responsible for these wounds in your life, so that you're pointing the finger in the right direction. His name is Satan. And he's trying to take you out. You see, the wounds that we have in life, if we don't find healing for them, they're like an anchor around our neck, and they're holding us back from living the life that God called us to. The wounds that you guys have experienced in your life, those things that are hurting you, that you don't like want to talk about, because you know that as soon as you try to talk about it, all these tears are going to come to your eyes, and you're like, oh, I don't know, I can't talk about that because it's going to make me cry. You need to talk about it. Jesus wants to come into that place in your life, and He wants to bring healing. Satan, when he was kicked out of heaven, was wounded. He was wounded in an area called his pride. His pride was wounded so big. And you know what? He's got a wound in his heart that'll never heal, ever. He doesn't want it to heal. He's ticked off, he's angry, he's hurting. And you know what wounded people do to people? He's wounded and he can't get at God anymore because he's down here. So who's he going to go after? Who's he going to go after? He's going to go after God's kids, you. And wounded people automatically wound other people. That's just like the devil. He's wounded. What's he going to do? He's going to go wound people. That's his nature. He can't help it. He's seething inside. He's so angry. He's so mad at God. So he's out to prove that God's wrong, and he's out to prove it by wounding you through all these things that I'm talking about. When I went to college, I was pretty innocent. I made a lot of dumb mistakes when I was in high school, and I doubted God, and I had questions, and I didn't have really any clue who I was. But when I went to college, I was sitting in a chemistry class one day, ironic, and there she was, my angel, I thought. And I saw this girl and I thought to myself, that has got to be, that she must have been the one, that looks like Eve, that's got to be. I mean, that, wow. You know, and so I went to class the next day and I sat down next to where I knew she would be and I pulled my hat down and acted like I was asleep. And when she showed up, I pushed my hat up and I looked over and I said, how you doing? Oh, wow. And we started to talk and, you know, I used the whole angle of, you know, I'm really not very good at chemistry and you're really good at chemistry and it would be really cool if, you know, I need help. I'm just, help me. So we met to study together and pretty soon one thing led to another and pretty soon we went out on a few dates and I was head over heels in love, just whoa, gone. And you know, it's funny, your brain, something happens, it's like you don't have it anymore. It's like you put it on the shelf somewhere. I took my brain out, I put it on the shelf and I left it there for about 6 months. And here's what she did. I took my heart and I said, I just think you're just the best thing ever. So I just took my heart out and I just said, here, just take it. I just don't want it anymore. You know, I just want you to hold it and just love on it because it's just so awesome. It's like a drug. It is like a drug. And she said, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you for giving me your heart. Oh, I love your heart. It's so nice. Whoop. And I'm in the middle going, oh, my heart. Careful with it. Be careful with my heart. Whoa, watch what you do with my heart. Ah! And finally she's, whew, and then, That's my heart, man. And I can make fun of it now. Let me tell you something. I know there's some of you sitting here right now that have already experienced this. When someone you give your heart to decides to play with it and toy with it, and they don't cherish it, and then they take it and they dash it to pieces, because I didn't just give her my heart. I gave her my mind. I gave her my soul. I gave her my body. I gave her everything. And she took it, and she smashed it. It's actually not her fault. There's two people involved. That wound messed me up. Messed me up. Totally forgot. If I had any semblance of idea of who I was before that, I was gone. I was one depressed dude. I walked around an empty shell, pretending to be all kinds of things that I was not, because of that relationship and the pain that it caused me. It's out of that wound that I begin to experiment and try things and get involved in other relationships and do all kinds of things. In fact, it's out of that wound that I begin to wound and hurt other people, one after the other after the other. Why? Because I didn't want to face it. I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to deal with the pain, the issues, the hurt that's caused by a wound, an emotional wound in your life. And you guys are sitting here, and some of you have some deep emotional scars in your life. And tonight I want to tell you guys, don't be like me. You don't have to wait. You can deal with those wounds starting right now, and this very night. The pain in your life, the hurt that you've experienced, the people who have hurt you, that's caused a wound in your life. And what that does is it's like it gets a nice little scar over it, and you walk around and you act like everything's okay. But underneath, there's this festering wound. And you kind of have to rip the scar off and let it drain. And there's only one person that ever lived on this planet who can come to you and can actually heal that wound. And let me tell you why Jesus Christ is the only person, God, who can heal the wound in your life. It's because He experienced that wound when He hung on the cross. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, He experienced that divorce that you're going through right now. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, He experienced the pain that you're feeling from that breakup that you're going through right now. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, He experienced the pain of the loss of your dad who passed away from some disease, or your brother who died, or Chloe who's got tumors. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, He experienced every single pain that you're experiencing in your life, every single hurt, every single wound, all the times you've been ignored, all the times you've been pushed away, all the times you've been yelled at, all the times you've been abused, all the times you've been hurt. He experienced it on the cross, and He took those wounds, and they killed Him. It hurt Him so bad, it broke His heart, and He died. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. You want healing for your wounds tonight? Man, you guys, you have an opportunity. Jesus Christ is holding out His hands, and there's scars on them. And He's saying, hey, I carried your wounds, and I turned them into scars. There's nothing festering here anymore. It's all been healed in me. And when you come to Christ and you bring your wounds to Him, He can heal them because He already died for them. The difference between Jesus and Satan, well, there's a lot of differences. But Jesus was wounded. His wound was a lot worse than Satan's. He experienced every single wound that Satan's ever inflicted in the history of mankind in his heart. I don't know how that worked, but it happened. And it killed him. But the thing is when Jesus rose from the grave, He rose victorious, and now his wounds are scars. And the only thing that he can do is reach out and help you, reach out and love you, reach out and touch you, reach out and care about you, and understand you, because he has been there. He's experienced what you have experienced. He's been through your pain and your heartache. And so all he can do is help. And when you come to Christ and he heals the wounds in your life, guess what? Those wounds turned scars in your life. Yeah, you still remember them. You can think back and yeah, it kind of hurts still. But they're scars now. And when someone else comes up to you and says, "Man, I don't know what to do, man. My parents are going through a divorce." You'd be like, "Man, you know what? I've been there. I went through that too. And I took my wounded Jesus and I'm healed now, man. It still hurts sometimes, but I understand. And I want to help you go through that divorce." You've been through abuse. You've been sexually abused or verbally abused. You bring that stuff to Christ. And he brings healing into your life. Guess what? Someday you're going to grow up. You're going to be 25, 30 years old, and there's going to be some girl that's going to come to you, and she's going to be a mess. You're going to say, "What's wrong?" And she's going to say, "Oh, I don't want to talk about it. I can't talk about it. It's just, you know," and you draw her out. Next thing you know, she's telling you that she's been sexually abused, and you can say, "I've been there. I understand." And that's what Jesus does. Jesus can look you right in the eyes tonight and say, "I've been there. I understand. And I can heal you if you let me." I just want to encourage you guys tonight. Two things. Ask Jesus Christ into your heart and ask him into the wounds in your life. Be real with him. Say, "Man, I'm hurting in this area of my life and I need healing." Second thing, God never meant for you to go through that by yourself. That's why we're all here together. You are not meant to carry a wound by yourself. This is called the family of God. You have friends. You have faculty members. You have people all around you that you can say, "Hey, you know what? This in my life hurts." And you know what? It doesn't matter if it's just that you've been ignored by your big brother and that hurts you. You can't. I've had people say, "Well, I can't talk about my wound because this hurts me so bad." But it's no big deal because those guys over there, they're starving to death. It doesn't matter. If it's hurt you, then you need to talk about it. Give it to God first, and then find someone you trust and say, "Man, I need to share this with you. I can't shoulder this by myself." You're not meant to. We're meant to help each other. John 10:10 doesn't end with just talking about the devil attacking us. It says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But," Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Wow. Joy. A fulfilled life through Jesus Christ. It's the only place you're going to find a fulfilled life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these kids. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to this earth and you experienced all the temptation that we could ever experience. And you were wounded, Lord. You experienced all of our wounds and all of our hurts and all of our pains. And because of that, you can understand. You can look us in the eyes and say, "I've been there. And I want to heal you." Father, I pray that you'd give these kids the courage to talk about the things that hurt. Amen. I want to play you guys a song. You might know it. So if you know it, just sing along with me, because I've only just learned it. And so I might mess it up. But my identity in Christ is secure. So if I screw up, I don't care. Because it doesn't matter what you think. All right. Goes like this. "Why are you striving? these days. If you know it, sing with me.
Why are you trying to earn grace? Why are you crying? Let me lift up your face. Just don't turn away. Why are you looking for love? Why are you still searching as if I'm not enough? To where will you go, child? Tell me, where will you run? To where will you run? 'Cause I'll be by your side wherever you fall, in the dead of night, whenever you call. And please don't fight these hands that are holding you. Yeah, my hands are holding you. Look at these hands at my side. They swallowed the grave on that night when I drank the world's sin so I could carry you in and give you life. I wanna give you life. 'Cause I'll be by your side wherever you fall, in the dead of night, whenever you call. And please don't fight these hands that are holding you. Yeah, my hands are holding by your side wherever you fall, in the dead of night, whenever you call. And please don't fight these hands that are holding you. Yeah, my hands are holding you. 'Cause I love you, and I want you to know that I love you. I'll never let you go, no. 'Cause I'll be by your side wherever you fall, in the dead of night, whenever you call. And please don't fight these hands that are holding you. Yeah, my hands are holding you.
You guys wanna try with me? Ready? Here we go.
'Cause I'll be by your side wherever you fall, in the dead of night, whenever you call. And please don't fight these hands that are holding you. Yeah, my hands are holding by your side wherever you fall, in the dead of night, whenever you call. And please don't fight these hands that are holding you. Yeah, my hands are holding you. Here by your side, my hands are holding you.
Amen. Just like to invite you, if you'd like to stay afterwards and do a little singing and some praying, you're welcome to. And the rest of you are free to go. Have a wonderful night.